The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30.
Well, the weather is definitely odd. We're at 1st of May tomorrow and you wouldn't know what season we're in. It's damp and it's cold. We're told it's going to get better. But what's that doing to what are described as seasonal allergies? We're joined by Sheena Mitchell from Milltown Total Health Pharmacy and the online healthcare platform wondercare.ie. Thank you very much, Sheena, for joining us, because I think about a quarter of Irish people are affected by hay fever allergies. Where are they at with the way the weather has been going at present?
Yeah, and it's hard to believe at the moment, because we've had such a miserable wet few months, that actually 2023 was the highest, you know, hottest temperature basically recorded ever in Ireland. 2022 was the next best after that. So we know that global temperatures are coming up all the time. And the impact this has on hay fever season is that it begins to start earlier, and it also, you know, extends about 10 days longer at the other end. So what that means is that we're getting warmer weather, which means less frost and less snow. So plants are inclined to flower and leaf earlier, which makes it a lot more difficult for hay fever sufferers.
So even with the weather being so sort of damp and it's been cool enough in recent months, we're still getting signs already, are we, of the hay fever coming along?
And this is where it's nearly more dangerous, because there is a term called a pollen bomb. So when it's raining, you get a flattening down of pollen that's coming from the plants. And we can see the plants and trees have indeed started, you know, leafing and pollinating. But because of wet weather, that pollen hasn't been circulating in the air. Once a dry spell comes and wind or breeze starts circulating, all of that pollen is going to be released into the air. So it's really important to be ready for it.
Yeah, so even I noticed this morning, as somebody who has a reaction to tree pollen, after the rain this morning, suddenly I could smell the pollen from all the trees on my road rising, and immediately home to get the antihistamine.
Absolutely. And you're right in terms of the different types of plants that affect different people. So some people will be allergic to trees. Most people who have allergic rhinitis, which is basically the medical term for hay fever, will actually be allergic to grass. So grass pollen becomes most problematic in May and June. But at the moment, if people are suffering from hay fever, it's most likely to be birch, ash, willow, all those type of trees. And it goes on then, you know, in May and June, you also get the nettles and all of that. So the key thing is not to kind of worry about the season that you're in, but respond to the symptoms that you have, because you can get maybe an early or late reaction compared to other years, depending on what's going on with nature. The other thing about climate change is that we know that, you know, we're increasing the amount of carbon dioxide that we're producing. And unfortunately, that is great fertilizer to plants. So obviously the plants are helping us trying to reduce the amount of circulating carbon dioxide by absorbing it and using it to grow. But that also leads to much higher concentrations of a more allergenic form of pollen, which can really irritate the airways.
Could that account then for the quite dramatic increases in the amount of childhood hay fevers and asthmas that's been reported?
Yeah, like we know that, you know, I suppose the levels of children affected with hay fever are increasing. There was a 3% rise within the 6 to 9 year old age group in one study. And then, you know, we have the 13 year olds have gone from 13 to 19%. Really, if people are going to develop hay fever or allergies, they'll usually develop it by the time they are 20. Normally, it doesn't kick in for children. A lot of people ask me, you know, does my baby, could it be hay fever? Generally, while it can happen, the immune response doesn't start happening till around the age of 2. But certainly there is an increase. And it's worrying in Ireland, because we know that we have 380,000 asthmatics living in Ireland. 90% of those will be allergic or triggered by pollen. And so those people are more likely to have flare-ups and require hospitalisation. And asthma already costs the state $472 million a year. So while people may think of hay fever as a minor, you know, problem and inconvenience, it really can have far-stretching health consequences.
So then, how do you actually help? If adults can look after themselves, how do you help children protect them?
And a lot of the advice for, there's two aspects of this. First, you have prevention, and then you have treatment. And sometimes you need to do both, because the prevention isn't, you know, always going to block 100% of reaction. But basically, the main thing is, in the house, if you look on MetEarn, they have a really useful pollen index where they'll tell you if it's going to be high. So if you have children and you're thinking it's the weekend and I'm going to bring them for a day out, if you're anywhere near the coast, that's the place to head rather than a park.
Get the sea air.
Yes, because there's less pollen there and the salty air helps. So another thing which myself and my own children use, because we're all hay fever sufferers, is a device called the Salon Plus. This filters all of the pollen and dust particles out of your room, and then it basically disperses microcrystalline salt particles. So you're mimicking that sea action, and it disperses that into the air, and that acts as a natural mucolytic and anti-inflammatory. So a lot of people would use that all year round, depending on if it's just pollen or if it's dust as well that they're allergic to. But also trying to keep your house pollen free, and it's really difficult, but on high pollen days, do keep the windows closed. Don't hang the laundry out on the line, you know, and I know we don't be using our tumble dryers, but on high pollen days, all you're doing is bringing pollen into the beds if you've got the sheets hanging out there. You also need to be, you know, using a damp cloth to kind of dust surfaces rather than a dry cloth, because you want to capture all of the pollen and hoover as much as you can. If you have a dog, like myself, they love to roll in the grass. So if you, when they come in, get a damp towel and just, you know, try and kind of rub as much of the pollen off them as you can, because they carry it all in.
I mentioned earlier with taking an antihistamine myself. What about with children? Is that encouraged for children to be given antihistamines?
Absolutely. So antihistamines are a really great, reliable and safe medicine. They don't interact with many other medications. The one that you would use for a child would be cetirizine, and that comes in a liquid form and is suitable from 2 years of age. Then if your child isn't responding well to the cetirizine, you can try loratadine, which is, I suppose, brand name Claritin, maybe for people who might be more aware of it, whereas cetirizine is antihist or Zyrtec. So just speak to your pharmacist. And I'm also, you know, doing a hay fever awareness week over on Instagram at wondercare_IRL. Where all of these products will be explained, because, you know, there's a huge amount you can do. And even for children, if their symptoms are worse, you know, particularly in their eyes, there are great eye drops that you can help, that can help wash out allergens and also help to, I suppose, support the film membrane over your eyes. One of those that's suitable from 12 months is Fusion Allergy. So that's quite good. And then from birth, you can even use Opticrom eye drops. So there is a lot you can do.
You got to leave it there. Sheena Mitchell, thank you very much for being with us from wondercare.ie.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.